do is I'll tell you kind of what the plan is, what we've been setting up and how close we are and some other things. And this is a good example of centralization. When there's a central point of failure, when there's one chain and you got a weak link, when there is some, you know, if they, them, those can, they will, they sure as hell want to. And this is what I'm talking about. LRN is a very effective way for a lot of people to share the liberty message, and they're liberty-oriented individuals that do so in their own way because they can, by doing either studios, rebroadcasting, other stations that use the feed. We have, that's another thing I need to call some other networks say we're on. And the pirate radio that people can transmit on FM boxes, you know, from their backyard and cover their small town of what, I mean, this is happening, you know, all over, way more than I knew that it was going on. I knew there was a lot of, you know, people out there and a lot of people that listed the satellite, you know, the yeah, North America, North Africa. And so, I mean, there's a lot of people that, you know, counted on this show as part of their morning, getting their coffee, whatever. I know, cause I've been getting their emails. But the thing is that, you know, this whole mechanism is so vulnerable to this kind of stuff. And this is what we've been working on. And we've made a lot of progress. One of the things I just, you know, to round out all the stuff that we're doing, if you go to freedomsphoenix.com at the top right, you know, you'll see Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. You go in there, and just a couple of shows ago, we'd had James Corbett and Dr. Mikovits and I think another couple of others, but there's one in there, Michael Proper. Now, Michael, it's in the top five up there that you may have missed. Michael Proper is the CEO of Clearphone. Clear United is a, they've been doing this for years. Now, we knew about it from back in the day, probably about 2-3 years ago. They were doing something with Sia Coin, I think it was. And that was going to be the crypto that was going to allow them to do a lot of the privacy, off the grid, none your business, the man phone. And, but it's more than that. It's not just a phone. It's a community. It's a social media. It's a data storage. It's a communication device. It's, and it's all centered around IPFS storage of how they're doing. So this is, when we started talking, we probably talked for a half hour, 40 minutes before we even did the show. You know, we're just, you know, who are you? Where are you from? What's up? Why are we doing kind of, all right, let's do the show, man. Crap, man. We got stuff in common. We're on the same path. Let's go kick ass. So is it perfect? I don't know. I mean, it's a freaking phone, man. How perfect can it be? But what they do is different. Is that a lot of these, okay, I'm going to tell you this story. So how much time we got in this segment? Probably, all right, 2 minutes. I can see if I can do it. My daughter, about a month or two ago, sent a message, text message out to the family saying there was some patriot, whatever the heck, you know, MAGA friendly, you know, we won't censor, use our phone thing. And I'm just like, yeah, whatever, you know. And I did some checking on it, and you find out that these different providers that use Sprint or T-Mobile or something like that, you do what's called, I can't remember what it is, but it's a contract. And what it is that you bring a bunch of people, they give you a discount, and then you can pass that on to them, or you can keep it as a profit and save them a little bit of money, and you get to have your own standard of who does and doesn't, you know, get to have the phone. Biggest thing is that you're not paying, you know, these providers, you know, Verizon, for being scumbags, you know, but you're still using their service. Well, they're getting paid. It's just maybe not as much, or you get a little bit better deal, or, you know, I don't know, you know, it was just a, you know, something to do. I'm not doing you anymore, except through these guys, you know, or something. And the conditions and the contracts are at least as or more restrictive, because not only are you dealing with government edicts, it's with the standards of whatever the provider does. So I'm going, if you're just doing that, then well, what they do is they call it DID, digital ID, and your name is not associated with your number. It's your a bunch of these, you know, clear accounts, and It's just you're a digital ID. Now they could, I guess they could make the connection eventually. I mean, it's not that hard. I mean, you got a phone number and you're out there doing whatever, but it's not hooked up to Google or Facebook or iPhone. It's separate. Now, if you wanted to download those apps and everything, you can, and you're kind of vulnerable, but it's totally different in the way that they see your account. So I'm going, okay, and it's its own system. Now, they do use, I think it's T-Mobile is one that they have. And at Nomad Internet, we use T-Mobile for unlimited, unthrottled, you know, whatever. When we get back in the bus this next week, you know, we'll be hooking that up. And so it's more than that. It is the ability to have your phone and all your data in your possession. You know, it's interesting. You know, I'm willing to try this and get out from under their stuff. So, Donna, if you can still hear me, come back. We should have had a rejoining music, or we don't have rejoiners or there, I can hear it now.
All I heard was, if you can hear me, and then it stopped, went into break.
So I couldn't hear the music, so I had to, I didn't know if it was, I was just going okay. Or what.
Are you recording at all?
Yeah, I started about a minute in, but.
Okay, well, what is it you needed?
I just wanted to know if the music was playing, if I was just still on or what.
All right, well, sounds good. So I'll let everybody know. I'll be inside working.
You haven't let her know?
I have.
You don't need no sticky. No. Oh, you guys have been missing all that, haven't you? Okay. Let's get you caught up. What's happened is that one of the final pieces in our, you know, and we're gone. You know, they were here a minute ago and they're gone. You know, and it's been, you know, a decentralization of everything effort. And what's happened is other companies and people and efforts that see the same thing, that have the same goal, of course, they find out that you're doing it and they're like, hey, over here, and we want to do it, or maybe we can be part of or alter a little bit, be a little more what you want, or we're already what you want, or we're better than what you want and you suck, and you know what. So it's happening and it's just going fast. Now, this is the one thing that how it applies to the show. There's a gentleman named Mark that has he's a fan of Float, which is one of the social media apps that we're working with on a lot of this stuff. And one of the things that I've been advocating for years, and we've been pushing here of late, and before, you know, LRN got raided and all that kind of stuff, was that shows, certainly content providers in a lot of different ways, articles, videos, you know, radio, whatever. They have been required to push their own content up onto every platform. Now, when we first started doing YouTube, first was becoming a thing, that was in like, what was it? It was 05. And that's when we said, all right, here we go. We do Freedom's Phoenix, which was an idea in our head to begin with. But it required broadband because we wanted to have pictures next to the article. That was my, you know, if I had the same headline, you know, that was in the story, you had the same summary, you said where it came from, who said it, whatever, but you, I think you should know about this story. The graphic is where I got my editorial say, you know, worth 1,000 words, you know, what's my view? It's the graphic. I knew that was going to be a bit of a graphic. Now, that was not part back in, you know, 03 to 05, around when I first started doing radio and so on. That was not part of a lot of web pages because we had the majority of people were on dial up. And you putting a picture up there was hell no. You're lucky you might get a color. You know, you'd have a bunch of web pages just had a lot of text. They look mostly like Drudge Report or something. Okay. That was, you know, it was just, you know, links. Well, I wanted to have, you know, the links with a graphic. And of everything that we did, that was the concept. Now, I was warned, as you know, the webmaster Tiger was going, look, man, you do this and it's going to take, I go, well, I'm not building it for this. I'm building it for the future. Broadband's coming. You know, it's kind of, I'm always, you know, thinking, you know, because a year or two ain't nothing to me. That just, boom, that just gave me time to get ready, you know. So we did graphics. We started doing the show on there probably about a year, 2 years later in it. We started doing, and we didn't emphasize the radio show. I wasn't like, you know, we are now or Alex Jones or something. Freedom's Phoenix was separate from Declare Your Independence. And you had to scroll down on the left side, down. It was there, but, you know, we didn't make a big deal out of it. And everybody was just on my butt. All right, fine. So we put it up, top right, there it is, okay? And I wanted the two to be separate, you know, certainly while we were developing. And then, you know, do we do video? Well, then video, man, that's an upload nightmare. And that's, you know, become a thing. Everybody wants their video shows and all that kind of stuff. So my thing was, is that I could see what the breaking points were. It was loading to all of these different platforms. When YouTube first started and before it became Google, there was a lot of competition. There was probably, at least double digits, 10, 12, 20, you know, different video platforms that you could load up to. What happened is they had a dashboard, and I can't remember what it was called, TV dashboard or something like that. And what it was, you loaded your video up to one place. It went into that hub, and then you checked little boxes where you want it to go that you put your account in there. And it was a number of something that you had or something. And I remember we would put the, give me a break here, man. This is 15 years ago or something. So you put the information into this dashboard. I want it to go on this channel, this channel, this channel, this channel, this channel, this platform, whatever. So you mark all these and you fill them in. And I don't think there was a limit. You know, we had probably at least 6, 7, 8 of them. And we'd load it into one place and then it would load on all those platforms, like within an hour. I mean, it was pretty fast. And then on that dashboard, you didn't go to YouTube and look at your likes and all that kind of crap or views or anything. You didn't go to any of these others. You went to this dashboard and it kept records of all of the stuff that you had put up. And it goes, okay, this one's doing well. This one's doing well. This one's doing well. YouTube wasn't always top. You know, it wasn't tippy top of YouTube. And they picked that one until they picked that one. And, you know, they would have picked whichever one they wanted to pick. They liked the name or logo or concept or idea or something. And Google, okay? So they come in, they go, and it's ours now. So when they do that, they do what they always do. They, them, those, won't leave us alone. They consolidate. They consolidate all the corporations under a major corporate, all the media under one big giant media thing, and it's Disney, you know. They do the same with radio stations and Clear Channel. They do the same thing with newspapers, magazines. Everything is a conglomerate, you know, of a board of directors that, you know, worship the idol of whatever the hell, okay? So this is, it's just standard operating procedure. And you can see that. You know, throughout my entire adult life since the late 80s, I could see what was happening. First, it was obvious in newspapers. Then it was radio. Then it was television, newspapers, and radio, which used to be an antitrust illegal. You're not supposed to have so much consolidation of information in the hands of one board of direct company. Ah, we don't care anymore. Okay. So this is, I'm all right. I see what's going on. You know, it's a consolidated, the centralization of information. How could you not see it if you were involved in political activism, philosophical activism, you know, the general public opinion of a planet? What are you looking at if you don't see this happening? And any threat to that? Any outside the box thinking, any thinking, you know, is attack. It has to be, because the fewer there are, the more they get attention. And when you got a thing like, you know, Free Talk Live and LRN and so on hundreds of stations with a lot of people out there rebroadcasting, you know, as a hobby, as a passion, as an act, as their form of activism. Well, that's been going on. And if, you know, we lose that momentum, it'll suck. And I think there's solutions. We're working on the solutions. When we come back, I'll tell you how we can make use of the signal and, you know, what we're working on to make sure that this kind of break in communication can't happen, because you have to make it where they can't. Because if they can, they will. They did. I'll be right back. Welcome back. 3 times in a row in the same day. Oh my God. The one thing that I wanted to make sure we got to, and they're waiting to hear, some of the guys are, you know, that do this kind of stuff. Decentralization in broadcast curation. I don't know what else to call it. The a lot of people have made it their activist contribution to the cause and so on, the broadcasting of Liberty content. And they see, as you know, a lot of us do, wow, man, it'd be great if you could have this show with this show and this show, and then this one plays, or some just get lazy and just run LRN, you know, and they do it on different platforms, and, you know, they take the feed and they do it over their FM transmitter. You know, I go into some places around the country, they recognize you by your voice. Why? Because somebody's got a broadcast, you know, of a pirate radio FM antenna of, you know, here you go. And I remember when that really first started, it was after the Levolution, that they had, you know, Ron Paul Radio, and then, of course, my show and stuff like that. And they just wanted to get it out because that was their thing. You know, some people were making a bunch of signs, and some people just, you know, found a open frequency on their FM dial and just started broadcasting. Well, the thing is that, you know, that's illegal, but, you know, you can do it legally. It's just, you can only do up to certain wattage and so on. It's like when you pull up to a billboard sign at a major intersection or something, and it'll say 92.3 or whatever, and you just put it on and it's a commercial for the Cadillac dealer there advertising on the billboard. Or you go in front of a house that's a open house and you don't really want to, you know, have to go in. It says tune to whatever. So you just in your car and you tune, you know, to that, and you get like a commercial. Oh, the house does this and the house does that, you know, yada, 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 yada. Or you do the same thing when you go to a movie theater, drive-in. You know, drive-in, it used to be, you had those little squawk boxes that, you know, you put in your window and that, and the sound was crap. But now they, last time I went, I didn't even know if it's FM or AM, but you turn on your car radio. You know, that's what, and hopefully you don't have a dead battery by the end of the movie, but you just turn on the radio and it goes through your sound system. I got surround sound, a big screen IMAX drive-in, you know, and I can, you know, eat popcorn and, you know, make out with my woman and everything. So, you know, it's, there are uses for this kind of a mechanism of radio waves. And but when it gets licensed, you know, it's always the man coming in. We've had, I can't believe I remember the guy's name, William Dugan was in the early 90s, mid 90s, when we were doing our newspapers and so on, Echoism here in Arizona. And he had a pirate radio station. He just built a studio in his backyard. Now, of course, everybody knew, you know, they, you know, the man knew, but they have to go through, you know, well, we had our broadcast, you know, triangulation with our van to win kind of, and yep, it's him. It's right here. It's this guy. And they go in, yeah, you got a warrant? Well, we got a warrant? Get a warrant and let me know about it. You know, until then, go away. So they just, you know, these alphabet agencies, they just, you know, but we have your dad. Well, I hear you knocking, but you can't come in, you know? So go get some guns and a, you know, ramming rod and whatever, and we'll talk about it. Well, what has happened is we saw at the time, pirate radio was going in the projects in Detroit, was where we first heard about it. And what it was, you get on these tenements, what do you call these projects, these apartment buildings that were, you know, all welfare, whatever, how they work, these projects on the roof, they would have an antenna. And I don't know if they were in one of the rooms or they were at the, actually had a studio set up on top of the building, but it was broadcasting from the top of the building. And the law enforcement and agencies, they didn't bother them. They didn't go in. I'm not going through the hood there. There's 50 gazillion guns and drug dealers and deals and, you know, prostitution and whatever. And they got a little radio station I'm all worried about as I go by all the crime to get up to the real crime where they're transmitting words without a permission slip. So they kind of let that one slide. Well, then they started doing the same thing in San Francisco. They had like 8 stations and they were egging them on. They wanted them to arrest because, and they, what the government didn't realize is all these pirate radio stations going around the country were kind of banding together to challenge their jurisdiction. And what happened, you know, of course, FCC, yeah, Federal Communications Commission. So the FCC, they come in, they file suit, they go, oh, we got you right where we want you now. They wanted the lawsuit. Because this is what they were arguing. The jurisdiction of the FCC in the beginning of doing radio was that if you walked over another licensed station or a frequency, if you got 93.3 rock and roll radio, and all of a sudden it keeps where, depending on where you're at, it kind of, you hear somebody talking or they're playing, you know, polka music or something, you're like, what the heck are you? So now you're trampling on someone else's property, okay, however they want to allocate that. So they go, you know, you're on a licensed state. Well, that game jurisdiction. Oh, hell no. Well, then you can do, there's a lot of other frequencies, certainly if you're not in a big giant city, that are available. And there's equipment to keep it on signal where it wasn't kind of fading over on one, on either side of the dial, it can do that sometimes. And you got, you know, different devices or little circuitry or whatever that keeps it on signal. So you take care of that and you don't have that problem. Okay, so they're doing that. And then they're going, yeah, but you're saying stuff that, but you're saying stuff. And we don't want you to say that. And you sure as hell need a permission slip to, you know, be outside the norm. We don't like it. So then they would go in, under what jurisdiction? Well, it can't be over a certain frequency, a certain power. Why? Because they say, but the biggest reason is to go over a state or international line. This is where they have the Federal Communication Commission comes in, because you're doing interstate commerce or interstate. You're going from one state to another. Who adjudicates that? If you have a signal coming out of Phoenix and it's going to Albuquerque, well, Albuquerque, that's New Mexico. And they're like, hey, you know, we don't, well, that's federal. So here comes the federal. So if you could keep it inside your state, you didn't go over the Mexican border, you know, their jurisdiction kind of started going away. And what the deal they made on this, like, damn it, we hate when these guys do this. And they were losing the case, or they had already lost a bunch. So then they went, okay. We will allow you to have FM transmission under, I don't know, 3 watts, 5 watts, 15 watts, whatever, depends. And of course, yeah, you kind of crank it up a little bit and you go, yeah, and then your business. But they say, nope, you can only do this much. Now, during the Ron Paul Revolution in 07, 08, we would go on to college campuses. There's always some college kid at a dorm room and I'll do it. And we'd buy these $200, heck, or even less than that. For $200, you got everything. The antenna, the transmitter. You go on eBay and you look for FM transmitters, you know, and for $100, you could get, you know, cheaper ones that would cover an entire university campus. So you go to Arizona State University, we put a, you know, Freedom Radio 92 point, who cares? And you just turn it on. Oh my God, there's a radio station playing MP3 loop of Ron Paul talking about whatever. Okay. You know, and you just change the file and just keep running. Put a little solar panel on it, put it on the, you know, roof of the dormitory and you're rock and roll and whatnot. So this is, you don't need it to go that far. You got a small downtown in an itty bitty little town of nothing America, and you're covering the entire town. You know, this is what's happening. Then you kind of up it a little bit or get a longer antenna or you do, you know, this is, but is there another modern solution to that? That's what we'll talk about when we come back and how we might curate programs. Test, 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 test. And covering the secrets and exposing the lies. You know, all of a sudden, all the stuff that I've been yakking about for years, they're going, damn, you know, it's kind of like what Ernie was. Yeah, because it's so expected. It's so written into the freaking granite, man. You know, they're bad. They're bad, they're bad. And what is it that they them those fear more than anything else? Is you guys knowing it and being able to share it and articulate it. Oh, yeah, need proof? Well, here you go. Or listen to this show or read this article or you know, watch this video or something. That's why, you know, I love working with James Corbett because he is, you know, he understands this at a fundamental level from the beginning. And this is, I really, you know, done what I could to promote his stuff a lot and like he needs my help. But, you know, I'm just honored that, you know, we can do a regular show together and we progress through all of this. And we just did one day before yesterday and you can go check that out at Declare Your Independence, ErnestHancock.com. Now, the kind of finish up on in this hour on the decentralization of, you know, show curation. Now, keep in mind, in 2009, 10, 11, around in there, 12, we had for like 2.5 years, we had a studio downtown Phoenix until I moved up into on some forest property, a couple of acres that we had in Northwest Phoenix to where we could bring everything there. All the activism, we had a big workshop, we had the studio, and saved a lot of money. We were paying like a third of what we were in managing that. Plus, you know, once it's like our fifth workshop that we've had over the decades. And it never really lasts more than 2.5 years. And the reason is it becomes a little comfortable to honeycomb hideout and, you know, the infiltration of they, them, those, and, you know, they start to take, it's time to close it, you know. And my home went 10 years because it was my home and I get to say what's what. And, but the other ones were just kind of, you know, hitting everybody and everybody's got a key. I mean, you know, I didn't care except I had, you know, the studio in my office, you know, locked and everything else is you guys go make whatever. But then, you know, they're just couch surfing, and, you know, how much dope can they smoke and, you know, chilling out. They get some work done, but it got to the point to where it always does. You know, it's kind of comfortable. It's a honeycomb hideout. I'm like, no, 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 no. It's a workshop. And if you're not working, you're bothering somebody that is. So that's what kept it going as long as it did. And then we'd wait, you know, it'd be another election cycle or a couple of years go by and then we'd do another one. And the last one was kick butt. If you were to do a YouTube search on Freedom's Phoenix Workshop Tour May, you know, that was May 10 or something like that. So you know, Freedom's Phoenix Workshop Tour May. Now, if you did that and you go, holy crap, well, we maintained all that stuff just up until like last April, like a year ago, when we finally you know, liquidated a lot of things and we're going on the road, we're going to be building a home and doing the mobile studio thing. This is what we've been learning a lot. One is get a rebuild engine, right? And just yesterday, they put it in, boom, you know, I had it all over, hooking everything back up. So, you know, if we're not back on the road by next week, I don't know what to do other than, you know, write a really sternly worded letter. I mean, what are you going to do? So anyway, so we're working on that. And what's got them going is me and my grandson to go out there and work on the bower change faucets here and work on generator there and polish up this and that and put some green screen and whatever, just, you know, playing on the bus just to be there and tap our foot, you know, that kind of gets things going. Now, what I wanted to talk about for the next 5 minutes here for the end of this hour, then we'll get into the news next hour and so on. But there are people whose activism is to present in an audio format selected shows or videos, audio, curate a list of good videos, like Mark Passio is doing One Great Work Network. You know that he's doing it. We need to, update a lot more of our stuff on when we get time and on the bus. And then, so that's more video. You have Grand Theft World. Richard Grove is kind of doing a similar thing to where it's video. Everybody know it's got to be video shows. Quality, nice, they want the video up there. And, the nice thumbnails. And it's got, the nice lighting. And it's got the little, all the stuff we could do in our OBS and on the studio and the live, streaming and everything. But it really, really, really needs to have high quality, good, solid internet all the time, which on traveling on a butt, you do not have, which has been one of the big things that work on. We have a new device and a new service called Nomad Internet that we're putting in. And it's like our fourth line, fifth. We got, a Verizon hotspot, two SIM cards on AT&T, through a Netgear router. We got a Raspberry Pi that manages Wi-Fi and so on. And now we have this, which is Nomad Internet. We want to try that. And we'll get real life results on that, let you know how that works. But a lot of other people in our position saying it's a good deal. So we're going to see what's up. So we'll do that. Now, providing the content, what about curating it? Well, this is kind of what Freedom's Phoenix does. We'll bring in different, so we have, different original writers that write for us. We have different shows that we emphasize. Of course, everything that Corbett does and some others, we put up there. And I'm going, all right, here it is. Well, what if you wanted to have it on a loop or a continuous show, or it changed every day, or the freshest new kind of a radio station that you could, tune in and have? Well, this is what Studio, 8524 or something, that guy that's doing it, Mark, that's doing this with on Float. Now, he'd done it before, and then when he went to Float, he just created a station to do it on that network, on that platform. So you go, all right, that's cool. You know what? That's a good Ian did. But I want to go even further, and it's good that he provides this, but I want to go further. How come I'm not able to curate it? Why am I not doing it? Why do I not have my own ability to put shows in, just play loop? Yeah, Studio 8424. Okay. So this is, I am just happy to have you live. We will build live with IPFS and Float in similar fashion, even better. Studio 8424 LRM will deliver you any way it can. Okay, so I appreciate that we're doing that. It's live, Ernie's back on. So I know they're happy about that, but the same thing can and will have, this is the second time that the FBI has kicked in studio doors, or excuse of whatever they can, think of. And you think they're not gonna do it again? Third time's a charm? It's called a fire or something. This is going to happen. Sooner or later, it's going to happen, because it has to happen. To have liberty critique of them and what they do, they can't have that. Damn it. So what we're going to do is, I'm heavily emphasizing, working for and pushing the idea that, Corbett was the one that really made a big deal out of this a few months ago on RSS feeds. Really simple syndication. Now, who invented that, who came up with that, was Aaron Schwartz, the guy that, got suicided in challenging the whole entire system. And him, he was out in a bunch of stuff on the MIT servers. And I think he came across some, a little pedophile of, we know who you are kind of, and you're dead, And so this was a big blow to the community. Here's a genius kid that knew what was up, and his concept of really simple syndication was such that you can have feeds. If you go to the bottom of Freedom's Phoenix, on the bottom left there, you'll see in the hypertext down at the bottom of that little box of all our hypertext, it has media RSS feed, a smartphone RSS feed. It was a app that we had on the Play Store, and then they started to get, but if you be on the Play Store, you got to be able to be surveilled, and we get to know everybody, everything, and upgrade your app, or you don't get, never mind. Okay, we're done with that. So the RSS feeds of articles or the site, or I started seeing on people's WordPress as a widget that they were building a lot of their content from the feeds that we were doing. Well, everybody can do that now for your radio and television shows. If you have the feed, you can build your own aggregation. Liberty, freedom, it's a perspective. And if you can share that and you got all this information, we're going to have a tapestry of everything, including freedom. And that's what they don't want. That's what we're working on, because it needs to be done, and a lot because they don't want it. Ha, ha, ha. So this is where we're going. I'll detail it more when we come back. I didn't finish it up. And then, you know, I'll get all the news lined up here, and we'll Evelyn Wood speed reading. Well, you guys don't remember that. It was hot. Speed reading. It's like that FedEx commercial. The guy can talk really fast, and we'll do that with the news the next couple hours, get you caught up. Yep. But we'll finish this up when we come back.